And now we are finally ready to get into Jessica Slawierski's Ignite Reading. And she is going to talk about our children, right? So please tell us what it is, what you're doing, everything.
Thanks so much. And it's been really fun as a lifelong educator and a teacherpreneur to sit and listen about what you're doing in commercial real estate and then to hear all about Bitcoin. And by the way, my head is still spinning thinking about all the thumb drives I've thrown away and wondering what may have actually been on those thumb drives. So lesson learned.
Could have been a security code for Bitcoin, right?
Right. So I run Ignite Reading. I'm a lifelong educator. I started my career as a classroom teacher. And, you know, not a lot of people know that we have a literacy crisis in our country and that our national reading rates for children as young as fourth grade are showing that we only have about 30% proficiency, meaning as we look at our young people, only about 3 in 10 of them know how to read. And if you don't know how to read when you're in third grade or fourth grade, you are not going to magically learn how to read before you hit middle school or graduate from high school, if you're even going to persist to graduate from high school. So this is a massive problem, and it's a problem that doesn't need to be a problem because we actually know what it takes to teach kids to read. And this is all about making sure that we put everything we can into ensuring that they learn to read on time, which is before they leave first grade.
Why aren't kids learning how to read?
For decades, there has been a misconception in K-12 education that learning to read just kind of magically happens by placing beautiful books in front of kids and telling them to guess words or use pictures to try to figure out what the words are. I am not making this up, for real. That is how so many classrooms were teaching kids to read. And yet, what the research shows and has shown all along is that learning to read is not natural. It doesn't magically happen. It's not something like learning to speak. The thing about oral language is that our brains have evolved such that speaking is a very natural process, which is why our toddlers might walk around using certain colorful words that we didn't actually teach them, but they probably overheard us entrepreneurs using in one of our many meetings. Learning to read is not like that. Our brains have not evolved to the point that reading is natural. We have to literally hardwire the brain to be able to look at a word like passage or a sentence or a phrase, passage to profit, and automatically be able to read it. And there's a process for doing that. So little kids need to learn to crack the code. They have to learn that these squiggly lines are letters, that each letter makes a specific sound, and that you then begin to put those letters and sounds together to read words that are increasingly complex, and to then read sentences, and then to read paragraphs.
When we were in Atlanta, I had a meeting with the teacher of my daughter, and she said, well, your daughter is sounding these words out. She said, she's not learning that here. We're doing word chunks. You must be teaching her at home. And I said, yeah, I read to my kids all the time, and I am teaching her to sound out these words. And she's 30 now, so she was in that demographic that just kind of got lost, right?
Yeah, there is an entire generation of kids who did not learn how to read, and heartbreakingly, that's still happening in many classrooms and school systems across our country.
So what's the solution?
Here's the good news, a little bit of optimism, is that there is a lot of policy happening right now that is mandating that school systems abandon these ineffective strategies, that they adopt evidence-based reading curriculum, and that they train teachers to use these programs. That is necessary, and it is not sufficient, because the other layer of this is that all of our brains are different. And when you're a classroom teacher, when you're a parent, that is what makes teaching and parenting so special, maybe also a little bit maddening. And you can't just teach one lesson and then assume that you're done, because the different learners in the room in front of you, their brains may need different things. I'll give you an example. The letter S makes the sound S. The letter H makes the sound H. And when you put S and H together, they make one sound, SH. When you're a little kid, that is downright mind-blowing. For some kids, you can be taught that one time, and then you can start practicing sounding out some words that have that SH sound. For some little kids, they can learn that once, they can practice it, it's mapped to the brain, and then they can start reading words like shack. For other kids, they might need to have this explicit direct instruction 10 times, other kids 100 times, other kids 1,000 times before it is automatic. And so a one-size-fits-all lesson is not going to work. And the solution is that we have to stop approaching teaching and learning with the factory model that we had at the beginning of education hundreds of years ago, right? Mm-hmm. We have to leverage technology. We have to differentiate instruction. And we have to give our babies exactly what they need as learners when they need it so that they learn to read on time. And that's what my company is doing. We're providing that individualized one-on-one instruction every single day to make sure kids learn to read on time.
So do you have people that are working one-to-one with children then?
We do.
Is this localized? Is it across the country?
So we are operating in 24 states nationally. We have a core of highly trained, highly accountable tutor educators. So what we've figured out is the flywheel to recruit and train at scale non-educators to be expert reading instructors who then are meeting one-on-one with kids. So that human component is essential. But then we leverage the technology to ensure that all day, every day, they are teaching exactly what that child needs based on everything we know about who that child is as a learner on their journey to becoming fluent readers.
Is it tutoring or is it during the day, like in getting pulled out of their classroom and they're doing the reading?
It is tutoring, but it is embedded during the school day as part of that literacy ecosystem. So the teacher does the whole class lesson. The teacher then may do some small group instruction, and then these kiddos get another at-bat or another opportunity with their Ignite reading tutor who they meet with virtually for 15 minutes a day.
I learned how to read, but I never knew the difference between right and left very well. So if somebody says, go to the left, I have to really think about it. It's not reflexive. And as you say, if I want to say go to the right, then I have to think about it. Do I mean right or do I mean left? And so maybe I had a similar experience when I was a kid on those things.
So, Jessica, I did want to ask you, how did you identify this problem? Because that is oftentimes one of the biggest things for an entrepreneur is to find a problem.
I started as a fifth grade teacher in the Bronx in New York City. And I was so excited to be a teacher, and I was just like, I'm going to teach them all these great books, and we're going to read Bridge to Terabithia, even though it's depressing, and I'm even going to tackle Shakespeare with them and do Romeo and Juliet. And then very quickly realized that almost half the kids in my classroom still couldn't read. And I was a fifth grade teacher, and my teacher prep program had not taught me, of all things, had not taught me how to teach kids to read. And I went my first 2 years of teaching trying everything to teach them to read, but having not been trained and equipped myself, I was pretty much useless. And that was an awful feeling. I vividly remember crying during my prep periods because I was so frustrated, crying on the train on the way home. I cried a lot, and yet I didn't give up. And in my third year of teaching, I went to a different school. They made me a first grade teacher, which was terrifying because I taught fifth graders, and now these were like such little babies, and they peed their pants and vomited and forgot they were at school and called me mommy sometimes. And yet I loved them so much, and I was taught how to teach reading. And I remember in that moment being so grateful that I finally knew, and then so angry because I was like, this is not hard. And I just lost 2 years, and my kids, all of my kids I'd been teaching, I can't get those kids back. And that was when something was ignited in me, just a desire to want to help as many kids as possible learn to read. And I had no idea how that I was going to do that. I had no intention that I would become a CEO or start multiple companies in service of literacy. I just thought I want to help kids learn to read as many as I can everywhere.
So what could parents do to help their kids learn how to read? Aside from signing up with your program, are there things that parents can do to help their kids read better?
Yes. The easiest, most simple thing that they can do is read to their kids every night, even if it is only for 5 minutes. And coupled with that, also simple, is talking to their kids. Talking and talking and talking, because all of that rich oral language, that plays a role in kids' ability to be reading ready. And once they do learn to crack the code, it comes in terms of comprehension, which is another important piece of reading. So, Todd, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at your beautiful wife. And I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but you all can be reading to your baby even while she's still pregnant. You could pick up a really cute book. I highly recommend Mo Willems' Pigeon series, one of my favorites, Don't Let the Pigeon Ride the Bus or Drive the Bus. And Todd, you could read a nighttime story to your baby that's not even here yet. That reading aloud to your kids is so powerful, so meaningful, and then also speaking, singing, all of that oral language. And those are simple tricks that families can do. More sophisticated things they can do would be advocating, showing up at the school saying, how are you teaching kids to read? Why am I looking at your school's literacy data and seeing that there's only 30% proficiency? What's happening here? This is not okay. The advocacy train is a bit more complex, but we also need parents who are going to fight not only for their own kids, but all of the kids.
Getting them to want, Izzy can read, but wanting to read, because it's a practice, right? It's just like anything we do, you need touches and those types of things. So I would do, and I travel a lot for media tours and business, I buy two of the same book. So like we just finished last year, I remember I was on the road, Phantom Tollbooth is one of my favorite as a kid. So I pick Terabithia, I pick all the ones, Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, anything I know she's going to be reading the next year. And I'll read a page, she reads a page. I'll read a page, she reads a page. And that was frustrating at first because she just wanted to get through the page. And eventually she started realizing that there's a voice to reading. And yeah. I think that's when you get that, you're talking about cracking the code. I feel like once you hear it in your head, as you read it, that's where I think kids really start to click.
I love that you went here. So you are getting at how to make reading a pleasurable experience. So many thoughts on this. The first is reading is not going to be pleasurable if you don't know how to read. And so many kids who aren't being taught to read then have books placed in front of them. And they are in such a struggle to even just decode the words on the page. They can't do the work of comprehension, which is where the joy of reading comes in. So cracking the code leads to fluency, which is the bridge to comprehension. And when I talk to parents or even educators about how to get kids to fall in love with reading, thing number one, we must urgently teach them to read, and we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have learned to read. Thing number two, let them read whatever they want.
Okay, so this is my one piece of advice because both my kids are readers. Captain Underpants.
Exactly. The sillier, those are the gateway drugs.
I really messed that up. I read the worst stuff of this. Why she doesn't like history class.
So how can people find you?
They can find us at ignite-reading.com. And they can also find me on LinkedIn, Jessica Slewerski.
Okay, thank you.